the only ones.
All the way in Hawaii.
We've been having some, too. And I know sometimes calling from Canada, it can be challenging with the differences and what they allow. And
you just never know.
Yeah, no, I'm so thrilled to have you on. I love your voice, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
Well, I got a message from you years ago telling me about your music, and I listened to it, and I was like, wow, you've got a beautiful Celtic voice. And
Why, thank you.
And then everything kind of got shut down. And then we realized, as things opening up, you're really happening. And you, first of all, I want to mention, congratulations, you got a special feature in Irish Music Magazine, didn't you?
We did. It's the issue coming up for the May edition. And magazines, it still kind of throws me every time. They release a month earlier than their actual edition date. So it'll be released on the 1st of April. But we've been wonderful friends with the team over there with the Irish Music Magazine, and we are just so beyond thrilled and honored to be on the cover, and there'll be an interview inside and all that kind of stuff. We have a new album coming out kind of later in the spring, early summer, and so that's, the interview talks about all of that and the kind of process that we've been going through throughout COVID, putting it together remotely and not being able to be in the same place, putting the album together, which is a bit bizarre, but thankful to technology.
Well, I do this all the time because I'm here in Maui, and a lot of the people I work with are in places like India or maybe in over in Europe and or on the East Coast. And so for me, it's been just the way I have to work a lot, because I very rarely, you know, it's just the way it is, right? So for me, it wasn't
yeah.
a big test. It's the way I've
yeah,
had to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing in so many ways to allow things to just continue to be possible. And it's something that there are pros and cons to it for sure, but we've just found that we've just been very lucky that we've been able to continue doing what we love to do in spite of not being able to be in the same place all the time.
Well, absolutely. I met you through the Grammys, I think. You're a Grammy member as well, right?
Yes, I am indeed.
are you not going to the Grammys, are you?
No, not this year. No, we've, aside from touring, we're embarking on our first set of indoor gigs in the past 2 years. These are all shows that have been postponed for 2 years, and so we've been still kind of taking it easy about attending different things, and so we'll see how this run goes. But we've still kept kind of quiet just to play it safe. We've got a little guy who's not yet four, and so he's not able to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
So we've still kind of stayed at home quite a bit of the time. So not this year, but you never know. It will be lovely in the future.
Well, I'm going to go because it's in Las Vegas, and my daughter's there, my son-in-law's there, and my grandson. So.
It'll
be nice, yeah. So congratulations, you're celebrating your 10th year anniversary tour, and it's quite a tour. It looks like you're going from Dublin to Philadelphia, Nashville to Canada, and where have you hit so far, and where's left?
Well, we're actually, tonight is the first, we started in Philadelphia about 2 weeks ago, right about an hour from where we live, and we are starting kind of the official part of the tour today up in Ontario. We do a couple of gigs up here in Canada for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. We'll be up kind of in the northern part of Ontario, which will be nice and snowy. And then we'll head back down to the States to do a couple of gigs in western Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio. And then we head out to Chicago and Milwaukee to the Midwest. And then later on in the spring, we'll be kind of back up in the New England area and all that kind of stuff. So we'll be kind of all over the place. So it's exciting and, like we said, a little anxious and nerve-wracking at the same time, but just thrilled to be out there and doing what we love to do that we haven't gotten to do in such a long time.
So where is that club that you're in right now? Where is that club that you're playing tonight?
It's in Kitchener, Ontario. It's called the Registry Theatre. It's a brilliant building. It was built, I think they said, in 1935. Mm. It's an old bank. So the whole thing has this Art Deco design to it. And since it was no longer being used as a bank, they switched it over to being a theater. And so they do anything from theatrical performances to dance performances to musical performances.
I love
like
it.
That.
So isn't just, that wonderful?
We're thrilled to be to be part of all of that. And as I said, this is something that we've been waiting for about 2 years.
Yeah.
So we're excited to be to be up here.
That's
and starting
wonderful.
Our tour with it.
And there is snow there?
There is. We've been wonderfully excited. Our winter in Philadelphia has not been so snowy. We've gotten little bits here and there, but we've been wishing for snow. And so we crossed the border, and the first thing that my son said was, oh, they have so much snow. So we've been wonderfully excited by it.
I get that way too. Believe me, having grown up in Los Angeles and living on Maui, I get excited by snow.
Still, I was about to say, I don't think you guys tend to get much snow.
No.
I've only been to Hawaii once, and that was for an anniversary for the guitarist and I are married. And we went for our 7th anniversary, and haven't made it over to Maui yet. But we're hoping to, and just absolutely beyond over the moon thrilled about just the beauty, just the natural beauty of everything.
Out there is just absolutely. You should have a vow renewal. You plan to come out, and that's a big deal, you know, come out and do a vow renewal.
Well, wouldn't that be?
It would be. And I wonder if they, you know, we've got to talk about your music, of course. I love Celtic music, and for something like this for you, I guess St. Patrick's Day is one of the biggest days of the year to play, right?
It's the high holy day, as they say.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Were you born in Ireland, or you also have Irish roots? Tell me about your background and connection with Ireland.
So I am American born. I was born in the Philadelphia area, but my husband was born in Dublin and grew up in an Irish-speaking family. But I grew up as a step dancer and had a lot of
wow.
the music as part of my background, just around all the time. So the two of us started the band along with the percussionist Cheryl Prashker. She was originally from Montreal, Canada, and we met her when she was living in Philly. She's now back up in Canada near where we're playing. So the three of us kind of started the band and had been traveling around for a while, and eventually kind of brought musicians on board and eventually became a quintet and had, you know, as you do over many years of being a band, you have people come and go. But the three of us have kind of remained the core of the band throughout the whole thing. And so the lineup now consists of the three of us, and she's a hand percussionist. So it's a little bit different than, you know, kind of the drum kit rock sound. For the band, but we have an Irish fiddle style player, we have his name is Jake James, originally from New York, now living in Chicago, and our mandolin player is originally from Indiana, but now living in Nashville, Caleb Edwards, and so we've got some bluegrass influences, we've got the Irish influences, we've got blues and flamenco mixed in there too, and we love to just kind of infuse our music with lots of different styles, you know, where we often think of our music as Celtic roots music, so
yeah.
kind of like a tree, the roots of Ireland, Scotland, the UK, and the other surrounding isles, Celtic isles, as the roots of the tree, and that's the basis of the music, but then as the tree grows forward and all the branches, it branches out to all different parts of around the world where Celtic music has traveled, and so we love to see how it mixes with all those other different styles of music, you know, up into Quebecois stuff of Canadian, down to Louisiana, you know, Baton Rouge and all those different kinds of areas, and we've just had a tremendously wonderful time working on all that music and just exploring different things, so yeah, it's just been brilliant.
I love that description, Shannon. I mean, I've never heard anyone describe it that way, and it's such a beautiful visual interpretation of it, which makes total sense, you know.
Thank you.
And again, you know, in this business, it's like, well, when you put an album out, what category would you submit a Runa album in? Would it be...
We've had trouble.
Folk? Is it folk, or is it world music, or is it... what? I mean, it's always difficult when you try to decide a category to put something that is so widespread.
Yeah, it's really, really difficult, and it depends, I think, it depends on the album sometimes, which one we've kind of settled on of where to submit it, because we just... Our music isn't and never has been just one thing. We've always wanted it to be, you know, a mixture of different things, and so it's not always easier, right?
So when people go to a concert, as they will be in just a few moments, you're going to be on stage.
I'm doing my hair, my makeup.
Are you doing? I appreciate that. What do people definitely have to hear when they know it's St. Patrick's Day coming tomorrow? What are the must plays for your band when St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. It's we don't always kind of go by kind of the standard. Songs for what are considered St. Patrick's Day songs, and so I guess we've never kind of necessarily either adhered to them or tied ourselves down to them, but things like The Parting Glass have certainly been stuff in our repertoire, things that are in Irish Gaelic or Scots Gaelic, to give a taste of kind of the more traditional sides of things, you know, if we're deciding between that and something else, you know, we don't tend to veer towards more commercial songs, basically just because we just haven't ventured into those as part of our repertoire. But there are certainly ones that, if we're picking a set of tunes that might be, you know, more bluegrass than trad, on St. Patrick's Day around that time, we might kind of veer towards there. But we'll always kind of have a hint of something else in there because, again, it's where the music traveled to, and it's where, you know, St. Patrick's Day is now celebrated all over the world. And so we like to kind of show everybody who's celebrating it. So, you know, not necessarily Whiskey in the Jar and all that kind of stuff.
No Danny Boy.
No Danny Boy. If we were to sing a Danny Boy song, we'd probably jazz it up a little bit. That's something that we like to do, too, is to take kind of traditional songs and runify them, if you will, or to kind of make them our own and infuse them with the other music. And instead of, you know, instead of hearing them in the traditional way, to get to hear them in, you know, with a different rhythm or a different speed than you might normally hear them. And so the times that we've sung that song, we've sung it kind of more as a jazz ballad.
Wow.
So it's kind of fun.
So listen, tell me something. You said Irish Gaelic and also Scottish Gaelic, and that your husband was born in a family that spoke Irish. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, I don't know Irish Gaelic. Can you give me, like, maybe hum a few bars or say a few things in Irish Gaelic? Because I don't know that at all.
Sure. So we're, the type of songs that we'll sing kind of vary when we'll sing in Irish Gaelic. You know, you have the kind of typical Irish ballads, you know, so slow, very sad. Often in a minor key kind of ballads that you'll have in Irish Gaelic or Scots Gaelic, but you'll also have what's called mouth music or puerta bail music, which is a very heavy rhythmic type of song where you would be trying to keep several people working in time with one another, if they're working in a loom, if they are walking wool, if they're working in the fields. And so most of those songs are not going to be not that they're total gibberish, but they're not going to focus on the lyrics and the story of the song, as opposed to a slower ballad. Those are going to be kind of tend to be faster and more intricate, a lot more tongue-in-cheek, and it's more about the rhythm than anything else. And so at the moment, we're singing one in Scots Gaelic with some Irish mixed into it called Tug Air an Vanid Vor. Mm. And and I'd say try saying that five times fast, but we do.
Yeah.
in the song. But you'll have something like that, so it sounds like and it goes like that on and
oh
on and
I
on.
Love that. You gotta keep going. I love that, sounds so nice. Oh my gosh, even all the through the phone lines and everything, isn't that? And that is fast. That's a very quick tune, isn't it?
It is a very quick tune, and so, you know, we'll take things like that and we will make them our own. Like I said, we'll put a different kind of rhythm to it or a different kind of bass to it. We'll infuse it with some kind of a bluesier feel, you know, or a jazzier feel, you know, to give it just a different texture than how it might have been heard before. And so we'll play around with things like that, and, you know, and then we'll do some things that are specifically more traditional, you know, because some things you should leave as they are. There are certain things that it's good to arrange it differently. It's good to try new things with it, but it has to serve the song itself, if you know what I mean. If you're just changing it just to change it, it doesn't necessarily make for good music. There has to be a reason behind it.
Well, do you find that it's kind of... there's something timeless when even... just doing that those few bars there, there's something timeless when you hear that Gaelic, Irish Gaelic. And do you find it kind of hypnotic and timeless when you get into that groove of doing it?
I think you have to a certain extent, whether it's hypnotic or just you have to have a different kind of focus with it. And it's almost more dance-like in many ways. And what we have to remember many times as we're playing this stuff is that a lot of this music was written specifically for dancing. You know, if there were scenarios where people weren't able to have instruments, either couldn't afford them or weren't allowed to have instruments, you provided your own by singing and by this mouth music. And so for when we're singing it, it sometimes, you know, it lends itself to kind of bopping up and down, moving around quite a lot. And a lot of that, I think, has to be said for the fact that it was actually written for that specific reason.
Now, you said that dance. Now, I mean, explain the dancing that you do and what that's like.
The step dancing.
step dancing. You were taught that when? Did you just grow up with it, or did you learn it when? I mean, it became huge, of course.
I started learning when I was probably about 5.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, and you think about it, a lot of kids are, you know, when they're going into dancing, going into ballet, jazz, tap, they're usually around that age. And, you know, so for me, I was with my parents. They were both cloggers, Appalachian cloggers, when I was growing up. And we would go to lots of different music festivals, you know, and so not just Irish and bluegrass music or Appalachian music, but we'd have music of all kinds. World music, and from literally different parts of the globe. And so, you know, I would get, you know, just this wonderful exposure to lots of different types of music. And so one of the events or festivals that we went to, there was a troupe of Irish dancers without the wigs, without the tan legs, everything. This is much more old school. Mm-hmm. And I saw them step dancing. I looked at my mom and said, "That's what I want to do." And
wow.
She said, "Yeah, maybe someday." I said, "No, this is what I want to do now." and so I went in and I wound up dancing with this teacher, I think, for about 8 years. And I didn't particularly like the competitive side of it, so I stopped competing, but just dancing for myself. And years later, picked it up as part of our show and had no idea that it would become part of my professional career.
So you do dancing in your show?
Yes, we do some. Yeah, as the lead singer, it's not always easy to go in and out of that, so to speak. But yeah, we get to throw it in a couple different times.
You have to wear special shoes.
And our fiddle player also dances too.
Do you have to wear those special shoes that have that extra click to it when you wear?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
I mean, every time I see Riverdance or any of those things, that amazes me is how the body, the top of the body, can stay so very still when the feet are going so very fast.
It's amazing.
It's
amazing. It's a certain type of discipline, for sure. It's a certain type of discipline to get that under control. And then if you want to later in life, you know, be able to move your body more naturally, it takes a while to bring the arms back in.
Well, you know, you have to realize, you're talking to someone here who's been in Maui for 33 years, and the hula has nothing to do. I mean, it's about as opposite from step dancing, right? Irish dancing, right? I mean, it's nothing, because everything is bending and moving and curving in the
and
hula,
I would
right?
Love to try it.
Yeah, and you are keeping that whole body completely still while your feet are going wild, you know? So it's quite amazing. So when you do that dancing, you don't sing while you're doing the dancing. You sing before and after, I assume. You can't sing while you're dancing like that, can you?
I haven't yet. We've talked about wanting to try and do that, or to see if it's possible. I'm not sure if it is. We used to, when I was taking voice lessons, my instructor used to have us run in place to make sure that you're breathing correctly, but not for performances.
Yeah.
It was more for training than anything else. So I don't know, actually. We haven't tried it officially, but it's something that we've certainly talked about and said, hey, what if we try that? Would that possibly be fun? But I don't know how it would actually come out in the end, to be honest.
Well, you know, I have to ask you if you will sing. I mean, your voice, I mean, it's, again, this is something that is beautiful. People can't, unfortunately, I don't have a CD of your music to play right here, but your voice has got that haunting feeling. I happen to be a huge fan of Celtic music. And when I heard your singing, I mean, when you first sent me a message years ago, I went, wow, you're really good. And, you know, I mean, really, I mean, I'm pretty critical too, because I hear a lot of music a lot, but you're really good.
Thank you.
You know, in this field, it's interesting. There are a few huge stars, you know, in the Celtic music field, right?
Yes.
Who just, and I don't know if it's because of YouTube these days. You never know if it's because of YouTube or what, you know. But there's some who have just like this massive following, you know. And then
it's
so
amazing.
Then there's people like you, I think, who, and I listen to you, and I think you're just as good as any of these. And let you know them better. What are the top big Celtics? Singers that like get the most following?
Oh goodness, there are a couple of different ones for sure that would be that would have kind of more international renown. Enya is certainly one of them.
Yeah.
Her sister Moya is another one, and my husband, as I mentioned, he's the guitarist in our band. He was her music director for a number of years, yes, I'm trying to think off the top of my head because, there are several, and they tend to be more in necessarily always New Age, but into kind of a New Age category within Celtic music, with Moya playing with and singing with Clonid. But in the folk music scene, there are numerous people, and they certainly were people that influenced me when I was growing up. Karen Casey is one of them. Kathy Jordan from Dervish, and a number of others. And so as I was growing up, those were the people who I was listening to quite a bit, Deirdre O'Scanlan, and there are a number of them, and then instrumentalists on top of them. Most of them play instruments as well. And, and then different instrumentalists who have gained kind of that international recognition. Eileen Ivers is one of them on the fiddle from Riverdance. And she's a wonderful, dear friend of ours at this point. And, so as I've kind of grown up into this world, first listening to all of these wonderful artists for such a long time and then now playing alongside of them, it's been kind of a mind-boggling kind of whirlwind 180 or 360, I should say, coming of age into this particular genre. And so that whole process has been really interesting. But it's interesting as a new generation comes up too, you start to see certain people kind of taking that step forward out there, where some of them are getting more recognition than others, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And a lot of it just has to do with the right place, the right time. As you know, I'm sure very well. Different kinds of PR, different kinds of opportunities.
Yes, and, social media.
And it just depends for those kinds of things. We've been really lucky in so many ways, for recognition along the way. And then, there are other ways where it's been kind of nice to keep it, folk and rootsy, and on not a massive scale either, because that changes, the creative side of everything too.
Well, I mean, I'm talking with Shannon Lambert Ryan, and your group name is Runa. Tell me what Runa means.
Runa means mystery or secret lore, and it has both Celtic and Nordic roots.
I like that.
In its background. Thank you.
Wow, that's a good name.
Thank you.
Can we go out with a little bit of a song? I know I'm putting you on the spot, and you're getting your makeup on, you're getting ready to go on stage, but... I'd love to just hear a little bit, because your voice is so lovely, and you were just starting to sing that Gaelic song, and I went, wow, that sounds wonderful. So we don't have anything like you here.
I'll see if I can sing the beginning of one of our songs that's in Gaelic, and then I'll bid you adieu, because I have to go
yes.
get dressed.
Yes.
But this is a song in Irish Gaelic that, again, is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek one, and it's about... a gentleman who is waiting for his girlfriend to go out on a date with him, and he's waiting, and she kind of keeps giving him excuses of saying, well, I'm not finished doing my hair, I'm not finished getting dressed, and so on and so forth. So it's 300 years old, but it's still pretty poignant, I'd say,
mm-hmm.
To most couples out there. So here it goes.
That, you know what, there's something about Irish music sometimes that sounds so poignant, right? And reflective and a little sad almost. Do you get that feeling when you're doing that music?
I do very much so, and I'd say with that introduction, I'd say you're absolutely right. But then when we usually kick that song up into a higher gear, and as soon as we go there, it gets very cheeky. Very cheeky.
And as the dance tempo increases, and then the speed of the feet in the dance increases as well.
Exactly.
Well, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk, Shannon.
Me too. Thanks so much, Cindy.
Yeah. I just absolutely love what you're doing, and I think I love the whole idea of what you're doing as well. And I thank you so much for taking the time. I know you got to get ready to go on stage here in Canada. Have a wonderful show, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks so much to you, too. And I will be sure to send you our music. I didn't.
Oh, please do.
I will
play it. I have a station I stream at KUOS, and I'll put it on KUOS for sure.
Thanks so much. We so appreciate the support.
No, I'm happy always to find great music and singers and people like you, and it truly is a treat. So thank you, and have a wonderful night. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Take care.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
So nice, huh? I mean, isn't that great? I just love it. I think I've got... Hi, is that you, Jim?
It is. Hi, hey. Cindy. Aloha.
My friend from... I'm trying to think of how many years. 45 years since I met you at K West? Was it 40? I think it was 45 years ago, Jim. We've known each other.
45 or more.
Or 46, maybe. So, yes, we met...
1975.
We met at K West in Los Angeles many a year ago. You came out from Detroit with John Detz and started working there. Of course, you have a deep, deep love.
You were taking care of Henry Fonda's house.
I was. I was house-sitting for Henry Fonda there for years. That's when I... Yes, I don't know if I should go into that whole story. That's how I got kicked out of Henry Fonda's house.
You might still be under a non-disclosure agreement.
but you know, I love talking to you about Ireland, and you have deep roots, and you have a great passion for Ireland. And I think you've gone. How many times have you gone back to Ireland and checked out your family and roots and everything?
It's several. So. Probably a good handful.
Yeah. No, I...
Yeah, and I'm hoping to get there this summer for an extended trip. But it's been magical. My mom and dad reconnected with the family. My father's parents were from County Sligo up in the Northwest.
Oh.
Or they call it the wild Atlantic West. And they established roots with the family and... my cousins, et cetera. And over the years, I've just gone repeatedly. And last time was 2.5 years ago, just before the pandemic. Went over for a family function, surprised a couple of cousins who were turning big birthdays. And I planned a trip to go to Europe afterwards, or the continent. But anyway, so it was just before we all got locked down, so that's the last time I've been. But I have become an Irish citizen 20 years ago, as well as an American citizen, and I've got an Irish passport, and which is a much more convenient way to get around Europe.
Yeah.
And it's been a thing of pride and joy, and I love it. To this day, I have regular contact with several of my cousins. I have one that loves to have a fun Saturday night, and she always calls me on probably once a month on Saturday night. It's 2 a.m. She's probably finished her first or second bottle of wine, and we have, as they say in Ireland, we have good crack.
So I wasn't aware that it was that, again, and my favorite part of Ireland is the wild West Coast, and I didn't know you actually had roots from the wild Northwest Coast
up
there.
Yeah, it's the Northwest, just below Donegal and above County Mayo.
Yeah, it's my...
My gang is from, and they're all... It's a little seaside village called Enniscrone, which is right on Killala Bay, which is a big... It's a large bay, a lot of fishermen.
Uh-huh.
Out of the River Moy empties into there, which is the biggest salmon river in Ireland.
Wow.
And my cousin Mary still is there. She runs a really nice hotel on the Enniscrone Golf Course, which is right, a seaside course.
Wow.
And my cousin Peter is still there. And, it's a very lovely little place.
How nice. So have you stayed at that hotel?
I slow her down when she calls me because... The accent's pretty thick, but we're very close, which is lovely. They love my parents dearly, so that's been handed off nicely. And then I have a bunch of cousins in Dublin, and I have some others in Cork that I'm close with as well.
Your favorite Irish music group? I'm putting you on the spot, I know, because
Irish music group is, I love Christy Moore, who's a solo artist, and I love this band called Altan, A-L-T-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Donegal, and they're really spectacular. It's like a Sligo Irish. It's not industrial like metal music, but it's a little more hard edged Irish music up in that part, which reflects the weather. It's very rainy and blustery and all that stuff. So.
I have to check both of those. I don't know either one, and I love Irish music.
Christy Moore is he's a legend in Ireland now.
Oh, I have to find that
one. And he's doing a bunch of online fundraising for Ukrainian refugees and stuff.
Oh.
This week, actually.
Wow, okay. Definitely need to check that out.
So, yeah, but I got a bunch of them, you know.
Okay, your favorite movie about Ireland?
My favorite movie, I could tell, 2 weeks ago it would have been a different movie that I'm going to tell you now. And 2 weeks ago it would have been Once.
Mm-hmm.
And to now it's Belfast.
I haven't seen Belfast, but I love Katrina Balfour's in it. And Brannigan, what's his name? He's supposed to be amazing.
It's an incredible movie. Judi Dench, you don't even
yes.
know it's her, but it's an amazing cast. It's basically the story of Kenneth Branagh's life in Belfast, growing up during the Troubles.
Yeah.
But actually, I'll send you a list of the top 25. There was a poll done. Top 25 Irish movies. You'll get a kick out of it. I can't remember a bunch of them. I'll tell you one movie, which is a classic, that is often the top of everybody's list, The Quiet Man.
The Quiet Man? Well, we went there when I visited there.
Yep.
Yeah, that beautiful town.
Yes,
went to Kong. Yes. Yeah, and,
yep.
and that statue is there, of course, and the whole little town is there. And
Maureen, Barry Fitzgerald.
Yep, yep.
Maureen O'Hara. And anyway, this list of 25 is fantastic, but The Quiet Man's not on it.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because that is an amazing one.
Revisionist history.
Ryan's daughter? Was it Ryan's daughter, the one that had that beautiful scene on the coast?
Yeah.
Walking? Yeah, yeah, another great one.
It's a beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of great films.
A lot about the complex.
It's a wonderful place. I have a couple of friends that I've known for a long time in the music business. They are actually looking for a home in Ireland. They're going to basically pull up roots, and they're not even Irish, by the way, but their daughter lives in Dublin, and they're going to try a different way of life in retirement in
mm-hmm.
Ireland.
Well, I like that. You know I wanted
yeah.
to. You know I'd like
and
that.
They're going couple months this summer, and they promised me I'll have a suite at the end of the hallway wherever they end up.
Oh, great. Well, that's
but I'll
wonderful.
Tell you a quick story about how beautiful. I mean, I always say if you want to feel good about humanity, you go back to Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And I have a cousin in Cork, Paddy McKeown, which is how our name is said in Ireland. Paddy, I've never met, actually, but we have gotten to know each other through the other cousins and social media and whatever. He's an older guy. But my friends were going over to look at homes, and they were going to be in Cork, and I asked could they call him just for advice. And
mm-hmm.
not only did he say yes, but he came back an hour later and says, well, they can have dinner at our house. In fact, they can spend several days with us if they like.
I love that.
They opened up their home to my friends who have never met him, nor have I ever met him.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said it was the most wonderful experience, and they gave him great advice. So they're going back to buy a house in Ireland, which...
I love that. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
I
have to hand it to you, the West is definitely best in Ireland,
oh, yeah.
in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
So what is... I always miss my... St. Paddy's Day at Mulligan's.
There's going to be huge. It's going to be massive. And you know,
I am like jealous.
Yeah, no, it starts at 11 in the morning, and they're going to have 30 bagpipers at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon out there. 30 bagpipers, including they've got the world famous champion bagpiper, piper, and he's going to be playing with 30 other bagpipers at around 5 o'clock tomorrow outside. Mulligan's.
Are there 30 bagpipers on the island? I mean, that's
oh yeah,
amazing.
There's a big piping group, absolutely huge. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And on top of that, I have to say it is truly, truly quite an experience. And I found out from Mike. I had Mike from Mulligan's on last week. I was blown away. It's such a strong community. Of course, we all have some Irish roots
yeah.
somewhere. But there's actually a kilt that's now made that is a Maui kilt.
Oh wow.
Can you believe that?
Oh, Mike, I've never heard of that, no. I'm sure Mike is definitely the godfather.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they're going to have, of course, they're going to have all the, what you expect, cabbage, corned beef, and all that wonderful stuff.
All the good crack.
Yeah, all the good crack. Where did that crack come from? Explain. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, crack is, which is spelled C-R-A-I-C. I don't know where it came from, actually. But it's, you know, it's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically it's, you know, enjoyable social activity, good times, you know, it's crack.
Yeah.
And it's a Gaelic term. So.
Uh-huh. Well,
it's kind of funny. I don't know if you've done TikTok at all, but there's a young Irish woman who has a great TikTok that talks about all the Irish words and sayings and pronunciations, and she's very charming. And that would be a good question for her, too. She talks about having good crack.
So 12 noon is the Celtic Connection happening, and it's 25 if you get tickets today. Tomorrow it's 35. A great fiddle player, Willie Wainwright, will be on with the Celtic Connection.
Well, it was home away from home on St. Paddy's Day for me.
Mike's
amazing year-round, but especially on St. Paddy's.
Yeah, the Isle of Maui Pipe Band will be on at 4.
As you know, it's Paddy with a double D, not a double T.
Yes. And sorry, it's 4 o'clock for the Isle of Maui Pipe Band with a world champion, Jack Lee, appearing. And and then again at 7, the Isle of Maui Pipe Band, they'll be playing a second one, Ahanaho, and then Kanekoa comes on after that. It's going to be, of course, they have fish and chips, corned beef and cabbage, bangers, and, of course, shepherd's pie. And, we're going to do this. What's your favorite Irish whiskey, Jim?
My favorite Irish whiskey is, I'm hesitating because my daughter bought me a bottle, and it has Bros in the name of it, in the title. And I can't remember the name of it, but I'm probably a Jameson guy.
Yeah.
I take it all back. I take it all back. My absolute favorite, but it's very pricey, is Redbreast 12-year aged.
Wow. I wonder if we even have it here on Maui.
Exactly. Yeah, they probably do. But Redbreast 12 years is my favorite, but, you know, for every day, or not every day, but it's probably a Jameson. I'm going to walk over to the cupboard and get the other name for you.
And on top of that, you got to do Guinness. Is it Guinness? It has to be Guinness, right, for your beer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things we did, in fact, it's called Brothers Bond. That's the other whiskey that I'm really enjoying.
I never heard of that one. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a new one.
Yeah.
But it's really quite, quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things we did in Dublin when I was there 2 years ago was I have a friend who's pretty big in the beer business here, and he arranged a private day at the Guinness Factory Brewery.
Oh my! Wow!
And it was absolutely an incredible experience.
Yeah.
That's a whole day, and it was pretty great. And you know, Guinness is incredible. It's wonderful. It's basically. Mothers give it to their babies when they're not feeling well.
Really? I did not know that. Well, we only have 3 of 4 minutes left, but I do want to ask you, because you just came from Palm Springs. What's happening in Palm Springs? How is it?
My daughter got married there, had her wedding celebration 3 weeks ago, and my sister, Katie, who you've met years ago when she was a youngster, when you were living in Topanga Canyon, Katie and her husband came out, and they live in Boston. They have a place on Cape Cod, and they went looking at homes, and they ended up buying a house in Rancho Mirage.
Really?
So they're going to split time between the East Coast and Palm Springs. So I went out and met with the home inspector to do the home inspection with it, and it's quite fabulous.
Wow, Rancho Mirage, is that above Palm Springs?
It's right adjacent to Palm Springs.
Yeah.
It was actually settled it was kind of a movie colony. Like the Marx Brothers did the Tamarisk development, and that's where Sinatra's house is.
Okay. I just watched The Player.
Right in the center of the valley there. It's just 10 minutes to actual Palm Springs proper, but
Well, I just watched the movie The Player, and where did they go but Two Bunch Palms? When, you know, I loved going there.
Ah, yes, at Desert Hot Springs. Yeah.
Desert Hot Springs, Two Bunch Palms.
I actually just recorded it, so I'm going to watch it in the next few days. Again.
Well, it was a real flashback going to Two Bunch Palms. Because, I mean, of course, I've gone there many times. It's a gated community. It once belonged to Truman, what's his name, Al Capone. It was Al Capone's hangout. And it has hot springs there. I remember going one time, going in that beautiful hot pool from the real mineral springs.
So good.
And who walks in the pool with me? And it was no one else in there but David Carradine. It was like, oh, my God, that's David Carradine.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I'm in the pool with David Carradine. All my stuff in it. It was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, upon spring, I'll leave you with a couple of thoughts about it. But it's really getting quite younger. It's become hot again, and you know, culturally, it's really ramping up. There's a lot of good art and whatever.
Yeah.
They celebrate the mid-modern architecture every February. It's a really big draw for people who are into, you know, the 40s and 50s architecture, which is being preserved now. So it's quite a place. It's just about 2 hours from where I am currently, so.
Yeah, it was always
very
nice.
Very excited. My sister will be out there, and they bought a fabulous house. And
so you can visit.
Can,
well, you know what I always loved up there? I'd always go up to that and take that tram up to the top.
Isn't it something?
Oh, my God, that tram that goes up to the mountain top there. Yeah. I forget the name of those mountain ranges. But oh, my God, there's always snow up there, and I bet there's snow even now up there.
There
the
is
top.
Now, yeah, yeah, there is currently, for sure.
Yeah.
But.
And the view and everything from out there, and they had that lovely restaurant. Always was.
Well,
a
they went hiking into Indian Canyon down there at the
oh,
end
I
of
Oh, I love
Palm
Indian.
Canyon.
Yeah, yeah, I
where
love
the
that.
Oasis is. There's an oasis
yes.
in there.
I've been there.
And
it's gorgeous.
That flipped them out, and I said, "Well, if you've seen that, if you saw that, you need to see the Peter Fonda movie, The Wild
yes.
Angels, with Nancy Sinatra from 1965."
Yeah. My God. Well,
which is a movie that does not hold up very well, but.
No.
But, it was all filmed back in there in the Indian Canyon.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
it was, yeah. For a while, it was a hippie place before it went to the other movie.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right, yeah.
So are you going to go out?
You can imagine what, it's a Roger Corman film, so you can imagine what
yes.
it was.
So are you going to go out for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow and celebrate it all?
Just sort of getting our feet wet about going out, so mm-hmm. I don't have a Mulligan's nearby.
Yeah.
I do have a friend who her birthday is March 17th, so
wow.
May have a toast or two with her at some point. So.
That's nice.
But yeah, no big special plans at this point. So.
Well, how wonderful! I mean, it
yes,
really,
indeed.
Well, I'm so glad you took the time to call in. By the way, they were having some problems with the internet. Did they reach you here? We couldn't get hold of you.
I received a message
okay.
about it, and I'm going to retrieve the email and see.
I would get in trouble if I didn't mention that to you because it's like called you.
Okay, I had a text from Shaggy. I'm about to. I just made a cup of coffee. I'm going to sit down and see if there's anything that's on.
You can fix from far away.
It's fixable on my end. So.
Well, have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for calling
in. Aloha to you, and happy St. Patty's Day to everybody on my beloved Maui.
Thank you. Aloha.